It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Don't tell her at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
I bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Hope you are getting ready for a fun 4th of July. By the way, do you do fireworks?
No, luckily, one of my neighbors, Mike Maida, who's a big honcho at Delta, one of the mechanics, and he's a guy, when I first bought the house, he helped me not, you know, cut my feet off with the chainsaw, taught me all the basics. So Mike's got, he's like one of those guys who's like a big kid who loves it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we've got like 2 hours worth of fireworks in the cul-de-sac, so everybody kind of gathers around, and we have a bonfire, and we go to town.
It's, you don't need a bonfire in this weather.
check that. That was for Halloween. Yes, no bonfire for this one.
Everybody in the neighborhood pretty much does them, but you're right. There's a certain area that people, you know, kind of they migrate to, right, and everybody's there. But just be careful. I only bring that up to say, you know, you could lose a finger. Who was it? JPP?
He's got the hamburger helper glove, Jason Pierre-Paul in the NFL. One, got a glove, 2 digits too many. The other thing is, and not to sound like Sammy Safety, but we do have a neighbor who will be Sammy Safety. He'll be out there with the hose because, you know, there's not a dry brush. We ain't got no rain. So if you're going to shoot fireworks, it is
gotta
important
be careful.
Everybody have your hose ready to go.
Yeah, got to be careful. And that's a whole other issue, man. We need some rain. Hopefully we get a little bit here over the next few days before 4th of July. Guys, here's the deal. We are at the halfway point for our Braves. They start another series tonight against the Giants. And it's funny because I have been kind of on a roller coaster. Maybe you have been as well this season, where we went into the season and I had high expectations and hopes with Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna, and then they get hurt. And so then I'm thinking, okay, is this going to be what we thought it was going to be? And so I'm kind of down. And then, Mike, I'm back up because guess what? Some of the guys now are starting to come around. And, you know, Jarrett Kelenic, for somebody that we didn't expect to get this kind of production from, we're getting an amazing run with him at the leadoff spot since he's taken over that spot for Ronald Acuna. But Olsen and Riley, you know, they look like they're back to themselves, but not quite yet. The pitching is holding up with Morton and Sale and Freed.
You get to that sixth guy, you know, and again, I don't like it anyway, but as we said yesterday, Schwellenbach, you've lost 5 of his 6 starts. I know he's getting better. He just can't. The third time the lineup gets to him, he just can't handle it. That's basically the way I read Schwellenbach. He's, you know, he's continuing to make better adjustments, and he's learning, just like Tom Glavine learned back in the late 80s before he became the dominant pitcher. But, you know, we don't have time for that right now, as we don't want to get back to like 10 games behind the Phillies.
So where do we project this team to be in the second half of the season? And Turtle, let's put a poll up, man, for the Braves, who literally were at the halfway point now. And it may or may not feel like it to you, but Mike, I'll say this. Are we a playoff team? Absolutely. I think this is still a playoff team.
Because we're like the number one wild card spot.
I still feel like this is a playoff team. Is this a World Series team? No.
Not as it's presently comprised, as you and I said with the handoff with Andy Randy. So that's why if you ask me right now, I got to know what we're going to get before the trade deadline. Can't tell you. If you now, again, nobody, as we all know, would have ever seen Peterson, Soler, and Rosario producing like they did, being so clutch. But, you know, until I know what we're going to be going to bat with, you know, Michael, still don't know when Michael Money Harris is coming back. Grant told us yesterday there's no hard date yet for him. That hamstring can be sometimes a month long or more or longer.
That's a great point. That's another injury where we're looking at and we're going, okay, need Money Harris's defense. Hell, I need his bat.
Right.
We do get A.J. Minter back, who is coming back off the IL, which is going to be good for the bullpen. But, you know, for me, if this team turns into, as currently constructed, a World Series team, it's going to be because Olsen and Riley get hot, Mike. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, on fire. Like, all of a sudden, you know, they're driving in runs, they're hitting home runs like they did last year, and all of a sudden, in the second half, maybe they're the two or three best players in the league. That is how, currently constructed, we can get there. But if that doesn't happen, and with the way this has been, an up-and-down season, this roller coaster, right now, that's where I'm at. You guys hit us up, 404-726-0929, and tell us, what are you thinking? We're at the halfway point. What do you project for the second half of the season?
Yeah, like I said, I'm not gonna equivocate. I'd like to give you a hard answer, but I know that there's more pieces to come. The total package, the puzzle's not together. We're six games ahead in the loss column over San Diego. We both have 46 wins, but we are sitting pretty in the wild card. The National League, as a lot of folks have brought up, it's a down year for the National League.
It is.
Now, that doesn't mean the Dodgers won't still be there, and the Phillies right now are sitting on top of the world. We will see them without Schwarber and Bryce Harper when they come up later this or next week.
Well, it's crazy from the standpoint, like everybody, including me, I thought the Cubs would be better. They're terrible. The Brewers are supposed to fall apart. They're actually better than expected. Mm. I mean, when you start talking about the Cardinals, for example, Mike, who we just saw a couple of weeks ago, it is a down year, but there's some surprises along the way. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you that we can or can't beat any particular team in the playoffs. I'm not willing to go there yet. But I am going to tell you that the way we're playing, and this is the key, and Snit would tell you this, or anybody on the staff, it's a little bit been inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had that run of games where you went, man, look at us. Look at how well we're playing. We win a series, we clown around a series. We win two games, we lose four games. Now, if you say that's baseball, great, but I want you to remember what we did last year and why you felt the way you did last year and why this team was special heading into the playoffs and why we all thought they should win the World Series last year. It felt completely different than it does right now, Mike, and that is why I'm reluctant to tell you, even at 46 and 36 and 10 games over 500 and having a winning record at home at 26 and 14, this is not a World Series team.
No, you don't have the lineup you thought you did. Obviously, you could win a World Series without Acuna. We already talked about how, you know, we were able to find the three guys, Moneyball, and it worked. But you look at the lineup, it's not scary. You can pitch around it. There's ways to get through it. Guys have been inconsistent. Guys have been streaky bad, streaky awful, if we're honest. And then, you know, the bullpen, look, you know, statistically, you really can't argue with Iglesias. You're not going to win it. You're not going to close out everyone, but he has certainly done the job. You know, middle relievers, I think, you know, statistically, Carl, they're in the top third. They're better than average. Still could probably improve. And when you get to the playoffs again, it's going to be, you know, a guy in Ronaldo Lopez who's looked great. Chris Sale has looked great. Fried has looked great. And Morton's been steady. So if you feel about, you know, it's just getting to that playoff, right? It's getting there. Where are we going to be? I've conceded this division. I'll throw in the towel in the division. I don't care. It's not that I don't think we can't win it. I just don't think it helps us. Hasn't helped us the last 2 years having that pause after we win it.
And I'll say this too. What if we do get hot and all of a sudden we do get close to the Phillies and you're expending all this energy? Does that hurt you down the stretch? It could in August and September.
Yeah, it killed us 2 years ago getting the Mets.
If you're trying to get there, and not that you shouldn't. We should aspire to win this division every year. I'm with that. But to Mike's point, where we currently are and where we could be in the playoff hunt, I don't necessarily know if that matters. Are we going to be able to go on the road and win? Because that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, honestly, whether you win this division or not, are you going to be able to go on the road and win? Last year, we weren't able to do that. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929, and follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. And, of course, that is on Twitter. I don't call it X. Coming up, we'll hit some headlines. We'll get you caught up on what everybody's talking about in the world of soccer. And it's not Atlanta United, guys. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
I am talking about the men's national team. And we got to dive into this because it is a big story because we are literally 2 years away from the World Cup. And I'm kind of shaking my head, Mike, going,
We're not going to do anything.
Well, you know, they're talking about this class of players as generational, and, you know, it just, it goes nowhere. And I know there's guys that are passionate about it, and they love U.S. soccer, and there was great crowds in this cup. But this is, we're hosting this tournament as a precursor to the World Cup, and we went backwards. Everything we did last year, beating up on Mexico, right? And then we've had some ugly draws, some ugly games in our CONCACAF region, and then we go and completely crap the bed in the, one of the most winnable to advance groups of all. We had to get by Bolivia and Panama. Couldn't do it. And I know the refs last night were also a factor. VAR, how they use the camera angles confuses everyone. You're supposed to be, you're not supposed to put yourself in that situation. No one thought we were going to beat Uruguay. We're supposed to get by Panama. But Berhalter and the way this whole thing is constructed, it just, it's like a country club, Carl. We'll get into it because I think there's a lot of moving parts to this. But I just said it, and Chris and I got into it last week after we lost to Panama. Our best athletes don't play this sport because our best athletes can't afford this sport. They don't have access to this sport. Hopefully that's going to change with things like Atlanta United. But all you do and all you get from the U.S. men's national team is aggravation and frustration, period.
It's been that way. I'm hoping it does. We will certainly dive in. It is a big story simply because when the World Cup comes, there's going to be expectations. And you just can't stay the course of what you've seen with Berhalter. All right, coming up, we'll hit some headlines. Falcons going to make any more moves? We'll talk about that as well as we count down to training camp at Stoops and Bell.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike, let's get into this. And for those of you, again, who are not following, this is simply about the men's national team. We've got World Cup coming up in 2026, 2 years away. And yes, Atlanta's going to be a big part of it. So everybody's eyes were on the men's national team in Copa America. And we were, you know, Mike, hoping to get to the knockout round. That did not happen. And before we talk about the loss, just everybody's perception was the team was going to be better.
Yeah, and, you know, if you guys don't follow U.S. soccer, in a nutshell, 2023, we've really owned Mexico. That's our big arch rival in CONCACAF in North America. And we've really kind of taken a step over them. And then this year, we backslid. I mean, ugly game against Jamaica. You know, I mean, just monkeying around against Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, just some really inexcusable type of competition. you know, and look, Greg Berhalter has been the coach for a number of years. His brother is a big part of the organization that runs U.S. soccer. There's a really good article. I mean, it's too much to kind of get into all of it. But Jeff Carlisle, I got to basically say I agree with like everything he wrote today at ESPN.com, who says, in a nutshell, why U.S. soccer needs to move on from Berhalter after Copa failure. Because this is a failure. There's no way to spin this.
Yeah.
You, and for those who don't follow soccer, again, I'll give you the primer. Basically, you have these groups, and the only, usually there's two good teams and two teams that aren't so good. And in this case, Uruguay is like one of the top teams in the world, certainly one of the top teams in South America.
Bolivia sucks.
Bolivia is not good, and Panama is not as good as us.
Yes.
Panama plays dirty. We played right into their game here at Mercedes-Benz, lost our cool. Refs, and by the way, the officiating, yes, it's been abysmal, but you can't use that as an excuse. You can't. You've got to find a way to overcome it when you are one of the most populous country, I mean, more populated countries in the world that has a deeper well to pick from. And we've got guys that are playing in the top leagues all over the world now, which is something you couldn't say necessarily, Carl, two decades ago.
No, you could not. And by the way, this is supposed to have been building. We've been talking, right. And I've been saying this, I've been talking about this for 20 years, guys. Building. Every time this comes around, we're building. It's getting better. Oh, you know, when Klinsmann was in charge, Mike, I think right. He did a better job.
And then he alienated the people
correct.
That apparently didn't have enough say, and so they get their boy in.
And they move
and
on.
And here we are.
All right, so here's Berhalter talking about the team is not doomed.
In my opinion, it's not something that you say, okay, you know, this program's doomed. It's not that. It's not the case at all. It was a poor performance. We didn't get the results that we expected, and we need to get better.
We've never gotten out of the group of the round of 16. We've made it into the knockout round where we don't do anything. You know, we generally come up against competition that, you know, in 22, you know, down in Qatar, we had some matches where you felt pretty good about yourself. You know, again, our team just doesn't play clutch. The best way to describe it for guys who aren't soccer fans, we don't have a clutch gene. And I'll be honest with you, Carl, we don't have a killer instinct. I think that's what you saw in these matches. When the going got tough,
yeah,
we just didn't have mental toughness on the back end. We couldn't finish. Like this, you know, when you watch European soccer, the ball goes from foot to foot and then and boom. With us, there's always an extra touch, an extra pass, or a bobble, and then we miss an opportunity.
I agree. Let's hear him talk about, and again, this is the head coach of the U.S. men's national team, Greg Berhalter. He's talking about, is he the right voice for this team?
As you just said, you felt like this team didn't perform well and could perform better. The decision's not up to you as to whether you continue, but do you believe that you still are the right voice, the right person with this group to push it forward ahead of the 26 World Cup and into the 26 World Cup?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think they got to make a change. This is a dude. We were joking around about it when you were off on Thursday down at Hudson Grill doing the show before USA took on Panama. And I would get up. There was a lot of loud background noise, but I would get up every once in a while and go, "What do we think of Berhalter?" And then half the patio would either go, eh, or thumbs down.
Sure.
So he's not inspiring a lot of confidence from the fan base. And as we said, you know, what does it take? Now, there are some bigger issues at play here. Why don't we get our point guards, our cornerbacks? I'm just talking about size-wise. It would fit the soccer profile. And then they would be the guys that would have the skill set. Our best athletes don't play the sport.
But that's never been the case, though.
Right. So how do we get them to?
I mean,
here's the thing. You and I always talk about engagement as a fan. Why, as a fan, should I give a flip about U.S. men's soccer when our best athletes don't play?
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Have you looked at these contracts? Did you just see what Jason Tatum got? Kids see that, Mike.
Right.
Where is that? Not in Europe. Where is that here? Where is the soccer player that's making $150, $200, $300 million, Mike? Where's that guy?
Right.
Not named Messi.
Christian Pulisic is making roughly about $8 million a year.
Okay. So,
playing in Italy.
So he's an NHL player. Let's be honest.
Yeah. A low-end, a low-end NHL player.
So my point is, we aspire, not just us, but kids aspire. They watch this stuff, guys. Your kids are seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, they're seeing, you know what? These quarterbacks, these corners, these right. NBA guys, all these guys are making. That's what I want to do. You see in baseball where guys are getting $400 million, you go, Mike Trout, that's what I want to do.
Is that happening
in soccer? Yeah.
Because it doesn't work, as you just laid out. You see Jason Tatum just became the highest paid NBA player. You see Jason Tatum every week. You see him on TV. You're aware of him. He's on ESPN. The best player we'll take Pulisic as our best player. He plays in Italy, in Milan.
You don't watch it all the time.
Yeah. Now, I get it.
And he's great.
The hardcore soccer fans, guys, we're not talking about you. We're talking about the casual fan that grows the sport, the casual fan whose dad gets him into it. We've done an amazing job. Atlanta United going all the way back to Bocanegra and Darren Eels and Arthur Blank. Soccer in the streets. If we could get some, you know, inner city kids to stick with it. But as a lot of parents were telling us on the text line last week, it's so damn expensive for all travel sports.
No, it is.
Baseball, girls softball, you name it. So how do you get our best athletes to be able to find their way into a pipeline? Messi and some people in South America, it's the ticket out of poverty. You get the toughest kids from the street. That's the way they advance. You get the toughest kids from the ghettos outside Paris or Brussels, and they advance to their national team. Their parents generally emigrated from somewhere in the Middle East or Africa, and they're just tougher than our guys. That's it. And I know American soccer, some of our audience don't like to hear that.
But they aspire
bingo,
to that.
Bingo.
Our kids don't. And I've said this for years, Mike, and people have made fun of me. Most of you made your kids play soccer because, hell, it got them tired. Not because you were interested in them becoming a professional player.
Right.
All right? I lived it. I've seen all the boys and girls out there running around and, oh, we're going to play. And it's great. They get to high school, they're like, I really don't necessarily love it. I mean, they don't aspire to be that. I'm not telling you it's not big, but everybody's been telling me for 25 years how kids are playing in the burbs. And we still get this crap.
Right. Now, we have guys where, in some cases, you are earmarked for, you know, a team like a junior academy, and then if you're lucky, maybe somebody gets you over to Europe to start playing. But the majority of our team, they're college kids Or, and I'm not saying that equates to soft. Okay, I'll say it. They're soft college kids. And that's just where the inequity lies as far as what the best of the best is in Europe. And that's why, you know, we look at MLS. We love what happened in 17 and 18. But I think we've come to the realization that we are a lower class league. We are always going to be a feeder series. And that's just our lot in life in America. We can still be entertained by it.
Yes.
And you can still have a great product and a great vibe like we do at Mercedes-Benz. But it's just on display when we get beat and you can't advance past Panama. I mean, come on. That's embarrassing. That's on U.S. soccer. But I think it's from the root to the fruit. I think the entire system is flawed.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd love to hear Brad Guzan's comments on this because he played on this national
team. And
we've
asked him about this before.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear, you know, at this point in his career where he's at and what he thinks about where we're going. I just feel like where we should be at this point, we're not there. And the reasons why, you have to ask why not. Why are we not there? And Mike mentioned this. Whether we are not good enough to grind out games, we're also making dumb mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, if these same mistakes are made in the NFL, you blame the coach.
Correct.
Okay? If these mistakes are made in Major League Baseball where you're pulling pitchers and you're doing dumb things, you blame the manager. This is no different. That's why Berhalter is right. on the hot seat right now when people are saying, wait a minute, we don't grind out games, which gets to Mike's tough enough, and we make too many mistakes, which gets us to the red card that happened last week. Mike?
Yeah. I mean, look, here's the thing. You know what, for guys who don't know, Panama plays chippy. They're going to try to get you out of your cool, you know, whatever your vibe is, they're going to try to disrupt it. And they do dirty stuff. And yes, the ref had two red cards in that game. Eventually, we did get even to 10-10, but we got to be able to find a way to score. We just can't finish. And to punch a guy in the back of the head, how do
dumb.
You? I mean, that's a total lack of poise for Tim Way, who pulled that move.
Let's hear Lexi Lawless. He's been on our show numerous times talking about not only Atlanta United, but the men's national team. This is what he said after the L.
You talked about learning from losing, okay? I think what we have learned over these cycles is that this team is not able to do anything better than has done in the past. And that hurts. That hurts to say. Because that was not what was promised and not what, for many, we believed was going to happen with this team. Because if this is as good as it gets, it's not good enough.
Kelly Francis is a friend of ours, big soccer fan, and she says, guys, we just lost to a country that's got 3.5 million people.
It's a joke.
And she's saying, forget the ref, forget the circumstances. She goes, there's no excuse from this country. We have the resources and the population to be dominant. Again, we don't need all of our best players. We just need a few of our best athletes to play this sport. And there's still plenty of room for the NBA and NFL. But as Carl pointed out, there's no way a kid's going to look at what's going on in the world of sports and say, I'm going to go make some money in soccer. Until we make it available to them. And we have a pipeline which offers, I mean, is there any way where we could have like these systems where, yes, there's a connection where more kids can go over to Europe immediately through U.S. soccer or from Atlanta? And I don't know. Again, I'm at a loss because I don't know how the youth system works. All I know is it's not working and getting our best guys on the pitch.
Where are you guys at? 404-726-0929. Text us. You can hit us up as well on social media and let us know how you feel. Obviously, I hope you hear that we're passionate about this because when we talk about the World Cup, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want this to be in North America for the first time in forever. Mike, for us to have matches here in Atlanta.
And it's simply an automatic bid because we're the host country, as opposed to being there on merit and kicking people's butts.
And then we're done.
Right.
Like that's what 2026 is going to be about, and that's the way it feels. I'm not telling you that's what's going to happen, but that's what it feels like right now after watching the men's national team. You guys can let us know what you think. Braves back in action tonight. Kelnick, by the way, since taking over the leadoff spot, Mike, hitting .328, 5 home runs, 11 RBI. We're going to talk with our buddy Grant McCauley coming up about the Braves and the start of this series with the Giants. But, you know, he's doing everything he possibly can. I just think, again, we talked about how do you feel with the leadoff situation. Well, he's setting the table. But we need other guys to come along and do their part.
Phillies are 6-4 dealing with the injuries. We're 5-5, so both teams kind of just kind of scuffling along right now. But we need to get on another heater. The bats kind of cooled off a little bit on that road trip. So hoping that, you know, Pirates took 2 out of 3. But, man, it just, you said it. It's just like 1 step forward, 2 steps back with this team.
All right, coming up, he ranks number 3 overall. We'll tell you what we're talking about next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's about to be a problem. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm talking about Bijan Robinson. B's about to be a problem. You guys do realize our new offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, was the passing game coordinator the last 2 seasons in L.A. Now, what does that mean? It means that he oversaw Puka Nacua turning into the player that we saw him turn into, Mike. He also was able to get Todd Gurley. I thought Gurley, Mike, at his best should have been the MVP. We know his career was cut short. But he was in those rooms and was the assistant quarterback's coach, I think, in 2019 when Gurley was there and was the bell cow of that offense. My point is, he understands what having a dynamic running back in the backfield means. And when you look at the running backs and how they're being looked at, and I don't know if you agree with this, okay? I mean, Christian McCaffrey, number one overall, I don't think there's any debate there. Some people say Derrick Henry's number two. I know he scored 12 touchdowns last year. He's now a Raven. But I got to tell you guys, a lot of people say that Bijan Robinson is at least going into the season, Mike, ranked as the third best running back in the National Football League. And part of this has to do with when you look at his yards from scrimmage last year, he had 1,463 yards. The only other guy that had more as a rookie was Puka Nacua. Who was there with Puka Nacua? Zach Robinson. So when you say, how much more can we get out of Bijan Robinson? I think we're going to get a lot more, and we got a better quarterback.
Yeah, man, you got a guy that can get him the ball in space. I know that we've talked a lot about that last game of the season, which is almost like, you know, where was this all year? the wheel route. I mean, basic stuff we thought. And remember, I think we talked about this like from minicamp. Oh, man, Bijan out of the backfield, giddy up. It's going to be just like Dalvin Cook. No, it wasn't, because Arthur Smith had to make everything so complicated and not use the right tool for the right job. But you're right, man. 71 tackles avoided, as you mentioned, fifth most in football during his rookie season. You know the okie doke, right? The back, he basically fakes guys out of his jock strap. You've seen that. So to get this guy the ball in space, and still, the good thing is he can still be able to run through the tackles. We've got a ton of weapons. It just, you know, you just feel that, you know, the KISS method for Zach Robinson. In our conversations with Zach Robinson, keep it simple, stupid. Get the guys the ball in space and let's go to work and set it up with play action.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, and you can quote me on this. He's better than Jonathan Taylor. He will be better than Chubb coming off of an injury, and I love Nick Chubb. He's going to be better than Breece Hall. This year, Saquon Barkley, new place with the Eagles. Guess what? We're going to see that up close and personal.
That'll be a hell of a matchup between those two. Now, Derrick Henry is more one-dimensional, just strictly running the football. But as far as guys that can catch it, you're right. Him, how the Eagles will try to get the most out of Saquon and what we do with Bijan is going to be interesting to see when we play each other.
I think Josh Jacobs, who's now in Green Bay, Mike, he'll be better. Like, when I start looking at these top guys, I go, Bijan is better. He's going to be better than all of these guys. And I think the system is going to allow him to do that. Now more so than ever. I think the intentions from Arthur Smith was that when they were there, Mike, it just didn't play out the way we thought. But even then, 1,463 yards from scrimmage, I mean, he had a really good year, and I think we kind of took it for granted because the season didn't go the way we wanted it to.
Yeah, there was we still don't know what happened with Bijan. Maybe one time we'll get a chance to talk about it. Was it too much information overload on what they were asking him to do that he couldn't process it? I don't know. You know, we still never really got the straight answer of what happened with the migraine. No migraine that cost him some, you know, a little tisk-tisk from the NFL from that weekend in Tampa. We still found a way to win that game.
We did.
Because of all the, you know.
was that the strip in the end zone
that
game?
That was the three turnovers inside the 20 from Ritter. I know. Yeah. It's still amazing you won that game. But Bijan no one debates the work ethic, the shape. In fact, he works so much, he actually kind of banged up his ankle training too much. They had to tell him to ease back on that.
Christian McCaffrey is the standard now, and that's fine. But we have a guy that I think could meet that standard. And I'm not telling he's going to be Christian McCaffrey this year, but I do think he can come close. I do think he'll catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. I do think they'll use him in a variety of ways, Mike. And if you wanted to, you could put, obviously, Drake London, Mike, Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? You could put Bijan in the slot if you wanted to and put Kyle Pitts out there. Who are you doubling?
Right.
Well, like that's...
But is that what we thought we were going to be freaking doing last couple of years with Arthur Smith?
We did, but we didn't know that the quarterback would be as terrible as he was. You can do that with Kirk Cousins.
Cousins can come up to the line of scrimmage where Desmond Ridder was just literally trying to keep his head above water and try to simply execute the play before the clock ticked down to zero.
That's a convenient narrative.
It's what happened, Art.
Come on.
It's what happened, Art. No, now Cousins gets over center. Okay, I got this. Okay,
yes.
I got this.
Yes.
And then boom, ball snap, and the ball is out. Like everybody talked about it, even at minicamp. Wow, it's kind of strange. Like I would turn, look, boom, and then the ball's like hit me in the hands. Yes, that's professional quarterback play.
It is. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. I think it's going to be better than all those guys. I just do. And Derrick Henry, to Mike's point with the Ravens, listen, goal line situations, you know, Derrick Henry's still going to score a lot of touchdowns because they'll be in the red zone. They'll have those opportunities for him, and he's still a load to bring down. There's no debating that. But I don't think Derrick Henry, with all the miles he's put on those legs, Mike, is the guy we saw in 17 and 18 where he's just running through everybody and running down the field and actually running away from people.
Right.
But last year, again, 1,100 yards and 12 touchdowns, that's not, you know, you don't sneeze at that. That's a big deal. And that's why the Ravens said, we've got to improve in that area. We need a guy that's reliable. But I still would tell you right now, comparative to where Henry is and where Bijan is in his career, Bijan is going to be more productive when it's all said and done.
Yeah, man. And we know that these picks, this is where I think this season is where all the picks that we've debated and some of the audience, and again, I get it. Some guys said with all the needs on this team, especially going all the way back to the Pitts pick, you know, when you go tight end, wide receiver, and running back, well, this is the year where all the pieces come together because you just said you've got a quarterback that can maximize it. And we'll talk more. There's another ranking that came out, and we'll get into this in the Falcon Report, which will have your head spinning about who's the best tackle on this football team. But I'm more concerned about, you know, just running the football, play action. If the O-line can just keep Cousins upright. And by the way, if you're Cousins, just take the sack and live to fight another day.
Yes.
Like the way Brady did at the end.
Yeah, get down. Get down!
Right.
Real quick, we got to switch here and just talk to you about what we just saw on social media, because it always plays out. So Money Michael Harris, Mike, has tweeted out, "I trust the next chapter because I know the author." Of course, he's talking about God. But it's a cryptic tweet in which you go, okay.
Oh, boy.
What does that mean, and why is there a picture of you when the injury happened and you're at, you know, sitting by the base? Obviously, if things were moving in the right direction, Mike, this would be a different kind of tweet.
Yeah. Now, again, as Chris, we'll bring in Chris, our producer, and on-air talent here at 92.9 The Game, because he is the guy who can read cryptic tweets. I got to lean with Carl on this. Something bad's about to be announced.
You don't put that out if there's a positive update. Carl just said it exactly right. Why would you try to manipulate the feelings of Braves fans like that?
It's great. Wasn't it a grade two hamstring, like a partial tear?
It was a grade two.
So
I trust the next chapter because I know the author. Now, does this mean he's done for the season?
We don't want to guess, but just based on how guys handle the social media in all sports, it's never good, to Chris's point.
No, or is he just out for a prolonged period of time? Right. Now, we will
or
wait
more
to,
rehab.
Yes, we'll wait to get the official word. But, like, if I'm Michael Money Harris, all right, and I just want you guys to put it in these terms, or if it's you and you are recovering and things are going well, you know what this tweet is? Can't wait to hit the field with my guys. I'm close. Like, that's a different tweet than, I trust the next chapter. And yes, that's how it feels, because when I read it, I was like, oh, hell. So, Mike, we'll see. I mean, you just said this in the opening segment where we talked about all these guys, these injuries, and this roller coaster I've been on where, oh, man, look, we got Strider, and we got Acuna, and then they get hurt, and I'm like, and now I may be heading back down another roller coaster hero here.
Yeah, I don't want to guess, but I just think if you follow, you know, athletes who are on social media, this is generally, I mean, I'm with Chris. I just think it may be, at the bare minimum, an extended absence as the injury continues to work itself out, or hopefully not something that's going to end the season. But, yeah, that's when you see the visual and you hear that. Mm, boy. Such a good dude, too. I mean, tremendous spark plug for the team. Mm-hmm. Struggled in the leadoff position. We get that. And we thought that ultimately that's where he's destined for, as Acuna would move down in the lineup. And maybe he will find that traction. But right now, Kelnick doing a decent job. But still, you need Money Harris out there.
All right. So we just wanted to fill you in on that. Mm. Again, could be nothing, but I doubt it. And it could be everything. Because if you're telling me now, again, no confirmation, but if we are losing Michael Money Harris on top of what we've already lost, Mike, I mean, like, it just feels like, okay, maybe this is not going to happen. I mean, that is the case. But we will wait to hear what the deal is.
You giving Eddie Rosario a call? I'm asking that seriously. I know he's been awful, but
yeah. Some guys just like with Chavez, Jesse Chavez. Some guys just do well here. You know, some guys, Duvall, now granted, Duvall's, it's not as been as good as it has been in the past here, but he's getting older. But Duvall's always found a way to come back to the nest and do good things here.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this is one where until I see what Alex Anthopoulos can do at the trade deadline, I'm not going to sit there and absolutely go, we're done. I'm not going to say what I said in 2021, fire sale it, because Orange queuing it up. Because that taught me a lesson that it's never over, especially when you got a GM who can do the kind of things Alex can do.
Yeah. Fire sale it.
There you have it. I knew he was going to do that. But yeah, I mean, but it is, you know, let's be honest. We're starting to run out of dudes. You know, a lot of guys have got to replace Carl.
We're some real pretty now, man.
Yes.
You finished. That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Come on.
Hey, that little girl survived for 6 months. Well, put her in charge, man. I love aliens every time it's on.
Yeah, I just said to Mike, not Mike Bell, but Money Mike, stop playing with my emotions, man. Come on now. Stop playing with my emotions, Money.
I mean, it could be, but again, a hamstring isn't.
Like, I'll tell you what we're talking about next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's about to be a problem. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm talking about Bijan Robinson. B's about to be a problem. You guys do realize our new offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, was the passing game coordinator the last two seasons in L.A. Now, what does that mean? It means that he oversaw Puka Nacua turning into the player that we saw him turn into, Mike. He also was able to get Todd Gurley. I thought Gurley, Mike, at his best should have been the MVP. We know his career was cut short. But he was in those rooms and was the assistant quarterback's coach, I think, in 2019 when Gurley was there and was the bell cow of that offense. My point is, he understands what having a dynamic running back in the backfield means. And when you look at the running backs and how they're being looked at, and I don't know if you agree with this, okay? I mean, Christian McCaffrey, number one overall, I don't think there's any debate there. Some people say Derrick Henry's number two. I know he scored 12 touchdowns last year. He's now a Raven. But I got to tell you guys, a lot of people say that Bijan Robinson is at least going into the season, Mike, ranked as the third best running back in the National Football League. And part of this has to do with when you look at his yards from scrimmage last year, he had 1,463 yards. The only other guy that had more as a rookie was Puka Nacua. Who was there with Puka Nacua? Zach Robinson. So when you say, how much more can we get out of Bijan Robinson? I think we're going to get a lot more, and we got a better quarterback.
Yeah, man, you got a guy that can get him the ball in space. I know that we've talked a lot about that last game of the season, which is almost like, you know, where was this all year? the wheel route. I mean, basic stuff we thought. And remember, I think we talked about this like from minicamp. Oh, man, Bijan out of the backfield, giddy up. It's going to be just like Dalvin Cook. No, it wasn't, because Arthur Smith had to make everything so complicated and not use the right tool for the right job. But you're right, man. 71 tackles avoided, as you mentioned, fifth most in football during his rookie season. You know the okey joke, right? He basically fakes guys out of his jock strap. You've seen that. So to get this guy the ball in space, and still, the good thing is he can still be able to run through the tackles. We've got a ton of weapons. It just, you know, you just feel that, you know, the KISS method for Zach Robinson. In our conversations with Zach Robinson, keep it simple, stupid. Get the guys the ball in space, and let's go to work and set it up with play action.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, and you can quote me on this. He's better than Jonathan Taylor. He will be better than Chubb coming off of an injury, and I love Nick Chubb. He's going to be better than Breece Hall this year. Saquon Barkley, new place with the Eagles. Guess what? We're going to see that up close.
That's gonna be,
and
that'll be a hell of a matchup between those two. Now, Derrick Henry is more one-dimensional, just strictly running the football. But as far as guys that can catch it, you're right. Him, how the Eagles will try to get the most out of Saquon and what we do with Bijan is going to be interesting to see when we play each other.
I think Josh Jacobs, who's now in Green Bay, Mike, he'll be better. Like, when I start looking at these top guys, I go, Bijan is better. He's going to be better than all of these guys. And I think the system is going to allow him to do that now more so than ever. I think the intentions from Arthur Smith was that they were there, Mike. It just didn't play out the way we thought. But even then, 1,463 yards from scrimmage, I mean, he had a really good year, and I think we kind of took it for granted because the season didn't go the way we wanted it
to. Yeah, there was we still don't know what happened with Bijan. Maybe one time we'll get a chance to talk about it. Was it too much information overload on what they were asking him to do that he couldn't process it? I don't know. You know, we still never really got the straight answer of what happened with the migraine. No migraine that cost him some, you know, a little tisk from the NFL from that weekend in Tampa. We still found a way to win that game.
We did.
Because of all the, you know.
was that the strip in the end zone?
That was the three turnovers inside the 20 from Ritter. I know. Yeah. It's still amazing you won that game. But Bijan no one debates the work ethic, the shape. In fact, he works so much, he actually kind of banged up his ankle training too much. They had to tell him to ease back on that.
Christian McCaffrey is the standard now, and that's fine. But we have a guy that I think could meet that standard. And I'm not telling he's going to be Christian McCaffrey this year, but I do think he can come close. I do think he'll catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. I do think they'll use him in a variety of ways, Mike. And if you wanted to, you could put, obviously, Drake London, Mike, Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? You could put Bijan in the slot if you wanted to and put Kyle Pitts out there. Who are you doubling?
Right.
Well, like that's...
But is that what we thought we were going to be freaking doing the last couple of years with Arthur Smith?
We did, but we didn't know that the quarterback would be as terrible as he was. You can do that with Kirk Cousins.
Cousins can come up to the line of scrimmage where Desmond Ridder was just literally trying to keep his head above water and try to simply execute the play before the clock ticked down to zero.
That's a convenient narrative.
It's what happened, Art.
Come on.
It's what happened, Art. No, now Cousins gets over center. Okay, I got this. Okay,
yes.
I got this.
Yes.
And then boom, ball snap, and the ball is out. Like everybody everybody talked about even at minicamp. Wow, it was kind of strange. Like I would turn, look up, foop, and then the ball's like hit me in the hands. Yes, that's professional quarterback play.
It is. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. I think it's going to be better than all those guys. I just do. And Derrick Henry, to Mike's point with the Ravens, listen, goal line situations, you know, Derrick Henry's still going to score a lot of touchdowns because they'll be in the red zone. They'll have those opportunities for him, and he's still a load to bring down. There's no debating that. But I don't think Derrick Henry, with all the miles he's put on those legs, Mike, is the guy we saw in 17 and 18 where he's just running through everybody and running down the field and actually running away from people.
Right.
But last year, again, 1,100 yards and 12 touchdowns, that's nothing to, you know, you don't sneeze at that. That's a big deal, and that's why the Ravens said, we've got to improve in that area. We need a guy that's reliable. But I still would tell you right now, comparative to where Henry is and where Bijan is in his career, Bijan is going to be more productive when it's all said and done.
Yeah, man. And we know that these picks, this is where I think this season is where all the picks that we've debated in some of the audience, and again, I get it. Some guys said with all the needs on this team, especially going all the way back to the Pitts pick, you know, when you go tight end, wide receiver, and running back, well, this is the year where all the pieces come together because you just said you've got a quarterback that can maximize it. And we'll talk more. There's another ranking that came out, and we'll get into this in the Falcon Report, which will have your head spinning about who's the best tackle on this football team. But I'm more concerned about, you know, just running the football, play action. If the old line can just keep Cousins upright. And by the way, if you're Cousins, just take the sack and live to fight another day.
Yes.
Like the way Brady did at the end.
Yeah, get down. Get down!
Right.
Real quick, we got to switch here and just talk to you about what we just saw on social media because it always plays out. So Money Michael Harris, Mike, has tweeted out, I trust the next chapter because I know the author. Of course, he's talking about God. But it's a cryptic tweet in which you go, okay.
Oh, boy.
What does that mean, and why is there a picture of you when the injury happened and you're at, you know, sitting by the base? Obviously, if things were moving in the right direction, Mike, this would be a different kind of tweet.
Yeah. Now, again, as Chris, we'll bring in Chris, our producer, and on-air talent here at 92.9 The Game, because he is the guy who can read cryptic tweets. I got to lean with Carl on this. Something bad's about to be announced.
You don't put that out. If there's a positive update, Carl just said it exactly right. Why, otherwise, like, why would you try to manipulate the feelings of Braves fans like that?
It's great. Wasn't it a grade two hamstring, like a partial tear?
It was a grade two.
So
I trust the next chapter because I know the author. Now, does this mean he's done for the season?
I don't want, again, we don't want to guess, but just based on how guys handle the social media in all sports, it's never good, to Chris's point.
No, or is he just out for a prolonged period of time? Right. Now, we will
rehab.
Yes, we'll wait to get the official word. But, like, if I'm Michael Money Harris, all right, and I just want you guys to put it in these terms, or if it's you and you are recovering and things are going well, you know what this tweet is? Can't wait to hit the field with my guys. I'm close. Like, that's a different tweet than, I trust the next chapter. And yes, that's how it feels, because when I read it, I was like, oh, hell. So, Mike, we'll see. I mean, you just said this in the opening segment where we talked about all these guys, these injuries, and this roller coaster I've been on where, oh, man, look, we got Strider, we got Acuna, and then they get hurt, and I'm like, and now I may be heading back down another roller coaster hero here.
Yeah, I don't want to guess, but I just think if you follow, you know, athletes who are on social media, this is generally, I mean, I'm with Chris. I just think it may be, at the bare minimum, an extended absence as the injury continues to work itself out. Or hopefully not something that's going to end the season. But, yeah, that's when you see the visual and you hear that. Oh, boy. Such a good dude, too. I mean, tremendous spark plug for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Struggle in the leadoff position. We get that. And we thought that ultimately that's where he's destined for, as Acuna would move down in the lineup. And maybe he will find that traction. But right now, Kelnick doing a decent job. But still, you need Money Harris out there.
All right. So we just wanted to fill you in on that. And again, could be nothing, but I doubt it. And it could be everything. Because if you're telling me now, again, no confirmation. But if we are losing Michael Money Harris on top of what we've already lost, Mike, I mean, like, it just feels like, okay, maybe this is not going to happen. I mean, that is the case. But we will wait to hear what the deal is.
You giving Eddie Rosario a call? I'm asking that seriously. I know he's been awful, but
yeah. Some guys just like with Chavez, Jesse Chavez. Some guys just do well here. You know, some guys, Duvall, no, granted, Duvall's, it's not as been as good as it has been in the past here, but he's getting older. But Duvall's always found a way to come back to the nest and do good things here.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this is one where I until I see what Alex Anthopoulos can do at the trade deadline, I'm not going to sit there and absolutely go, we're done. I'm not going to say what I said in 2021, fire sale it, because Orin's queuing it up. Because that taught me a lesson that it's never over, especially when you got a GM who can do the kind of things Alex can do. Yeah. Fire sale it. Fire sale. There you have it. I knew he was going to do that. But yeah, I mean, but it is, you know, let's be honest. We're starting to run out of dudes. Yeah. A lot of guys have got to replace Carl.
Where's the real pretty s*** now, man?
Yes.
You finished.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Come on, come on.
Hey, that little girl survived for 6 months. Well, put her in charge, man. I love aliens every time it's on.
Yeah, I just said to Mike, not Mike Bell, but Money Mike, stop playing with my emotions, man. Come on now. Stop playing with my emotions, yeah. Money.
I mean, it could be, but again, a hamstring isn't like a knee. Or unless something else happened, you know, man. I mean, that's why I don't want to guess, but when you see a cryptic tweet like that and the image he's using, you begin to feel this could not be good.
All right, 404-726-0929. We were talking about, you know, Bijan. I was feeling good. I was talking about running backs and how productive he's going to be, and then you get hit with that.
Look, you're telling me, but with all the weapons we've got, and even with the injuries, we couldn't do what the Arizona Diamondbacks did last year. We could totally be that team.
No.
And totally sneak up on some people the way the Marlins have done it from the, you know, wild card position. But, you know, right now, we need a lot of dudes.
Well, here's the thing.
We need more dudes.
You don't, and we knew this. You don't replace Strider's 300 strikeouts, Mike, and potential 20 wins.
Nope.
You don't replace the 70 stolen bases, even if he had 50. You don't replace that with Ronald Acuna and the power numbers and the RBI. You just don't. And now you're telling me defensively, and this is the thing for me, guys, with Money Harris, Mike, we're better defensively when he's on the field. You take that out of the equation, we're not as good a defensive team.
No, I mean Kelnick is a nice piece in the middle, but yeah, we're losing some big time a playmaking, game winning ability out there. So you can't dismiss that. Yeah, and the minors. This is where, you know, you said, so, well, who's our next big superstar outfielder?
Who's our next big superstar outfielder?
They don't really have one in the pipeline just yet. So stay tuned. Yeah, man, it's gonna be interesting to see if. Could Alex Anthopoulos, 4 years later, 3 years later, pull off the same kind of miracle where you need to really, you know, if Harris is gone for the season, and we don't know, maybe an extended period, you know, you need at least one more pitcher. Yeah, I got to get another arm for the bullpen.
Yep.
And I need two outfielders, man.
Oh, we need a team then.
Seriously.
We need a new team.
Add that to the laundry list, right? I mean, that's a lot of stuff.
Listen, there are a bunch of guys on this team, and a lot of them are either at the ballpark or headed towards it. We got a really good club, but withstanding these kinds of injuries, Mike, they're killer. I don't care how good you guys are, or how good the player is. Again, it's a team. The reason why this team was so damn good last year is because everybody played their role and did what they were supposed to do. Now you're asking fill-in guys and guys who are normally not producing those kinds of numbers to step up and do that. And by the way, you may get every now and then it happens. But, Mike, it's rare and far few between that happens in our situation.
Now, a guy who goes by, I love this Twitter handle, Michael Penix Durag. Again, Carl says.
I like it.
He's not leaving. Why would he? So he's inferring that somehow Money Harris is going to be traded.
Oh, stop it.
That's not even remotely possible.
Stop Come it. On.
That's crazy talk.
All right, we got a lot more to
get your head
to.
Right.
Come on, man.
Your durag's on too tight.
For real, it's 4th of July week. Come on. NFL Blitz is on the way. We're going to talk about how he's being praised for his leadership. Find out who we're talking about coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.